Blog Talk Radio.
Each day do you wake up and get out of bed? You got all these feelings rushing round in your head. You got that bout with doubt and neighbors singing the blues. Pick up the paper and it's all bad news. But you know in the end, happiness is your best friend. You can be what you want to be. Hard dare to step high and live like you're free. I said color, color your life happy. Color, every day you can choose. Color, color your life happy. If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
The difference between try and triumph is a little bumpy. We all have ups and downs, but you can still be happy. If you're gonna step, you might as well step high.
If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
ColorYourLifeHappy.com. Get your happy on.
Welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, August 31st. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you live from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Our show today will inform, inspire, and encourage you. In a moment, we will begin today's episode, Color Your Life Happy, Radiate Joy from Within. But first, I want to welcome all of you, my listeners. I am so honored that you made space in your schedule to join us. I know you have a lot of other choices of things to do. I encourage you to participate by asking questions or adding comments in the chat room. If you're on the phone lines, you just press #1 to let me know you have a question or a comment. If you are on the web chat, you just type in your questions there or your comments, and I'll be able to see them, and then I can read them on the air to our guest. Let me remind you, too, that the show is live, so you know what that means. Anything can happen. Lost signals is one of the most common things that happens. It even happens to the host sometimes. If your call is suddenly lost, just dial in again at 347-539-5700, the same number you dialed before. And don't worry about missing anything because all the shows are recorded and available for you later under on-demand episodes on my show page. Just in case you didn't know, again, I'm Flora Brown, and I'm an author, I'm a coach, inspirational speaker, consultant, and, of course, radio host. I'm also a mom of 4 and a grandma of 3. I recently retired after 40 years of teaching junior high through university levels. I spent the last 20 of those years teaching critical thinking. If you haven't already done so, I want you to visit my website, ColorYourLifeHappy.com, because now you can get my book, Color Your Life Happy. It's off the presses. It's available at Amazon and all major bookstores, but if you buy it from my website, I will give you an autographed copy. Now, if you're ready to make positive changes in your life, that's the book you want to get because it is full of stories, tips, activities, all of which will speak to your inner desire to get the life you want and deserve. Now, on this radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. So each week I interview guests from all different fields such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change in adversity, parenting, wealth creation, career, you name it, all of those things that contribute to our lasting happiness. Today our guest is Dr. Liara Covert. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about her in just a moment. Is that going to be okay? Hi, Liara.
Hi there, Flora.
Okay, I'm going to tell you listeners a little bit about her, and then we will start our interview. Dr. Liara Covert is a dream analyst, an author, and a spiritual guide. She's written over 2,000 articles concerning dreams, psycho-spiritual, and self-help issues. Many of these are accessible, and she invites comments at her blog. And to get there, you just go http://blog.dreambuilders.com.au. So don't put a WW in there anywhere, or else you won't find it. She's the author of Self-Disclosure, Changes from Within, and soon-to-be-available e-books, Expand Consciousness Now, and Harness the Energy of Your Dreams. I am so happy to welcome you, Dr. Liara Covert. I want to get started with the questions right now, so I'm going to start right off the bat with the question that so many people ask me. What is happiness, and where do you find it?
Oh, gee, that's a great question, Flora. So many people are often asking themselves this question, and many people will sort of be seeking outside of themselves for a source of happiness or some sort of sense of completion. But I would suggest that happiness is actually a permanent frequency of higher consciousness. And what I mean by this is that it's a baseline state that everyone has within themselves, and it's part of the programming of your mind. And the longer you focus in attention on any particular subject, the easier it is to continue focusing attention on that thing. So if you focus on something in your life that evokes anger or negative feelings, then it's easier to attract other situations that perpetuate those negative feelings. And in the same way, if you do things that make you feel good, then you're more likely to notice other opportunities to make you feel good and feel happier where you are.
Hmm. So where do we find, how do we find this vibration? You described it as a vibration within?
Well, some people look at it as a frequency of higher consciousness, but it depends on what your self-awareness is. Some people will focus on happiness as a feeling. What about you? When you think of happiness, what do you think of?
I think of it as a feeling, but also I recognize that it's a vibration frequency because you're emitting that out to others and attracting things, like you say, of like kind back to you.
But if you sort of measure the vibration or the energy that you're feeling in a feeling, it's a lot lighter than the energy that you're putting out when you're feeling negative. So if you're upset about something, a lot of times you feel more drained, heavier, lethargic, and that reflects the frequency. Although you don't see it, you can feel it in your physical body. And with happiness, in the same way, you tend to feel like you're walking on air if you're in love, for example, because it feels good. Or you get really excited if you win a race or you do something else that gives you a sense of accomplishment.
Now, why do people often dream about and pursue happiness? Why do they often
That's another
dream
great question.
About it?
Well, do you find you've met a lot of people who think that they are often in pursuit of happiness?
Some people think they're in pursuit of it, yes. And it's often described that way in the media. And, of course, until recent years when we've become more aware that it's not something outside of yourself you're pursuing. But many people describe it that way and think that if only they can get a hold of that thing or that person or that something external, that they would be happy. But, of course, that's not true.
Well, I agree with you, and as you point out, the media often perpetuates these sorts of feelings, and what they do is they distract your mind from what you already have, and what you already have inside is the core feeling of...
I'm sorry? Hello? I think we lost the signal for a minute there. But I'm sure she'll be right back. She was talking about that core feeling, and my next concern was going to be about self-awareness, because earlier Liara mentioned that we need to be self-aware to be happy. So that tells me that it definitely is already within us, and it's a matter of finding out how to tap into that and respecting it. So when she comes back on, I'm sure she's going to share that with us. In the meantime, I want to point out to you that earlier I said that her ebook, Expand Consciousness Now, was going to be available soon. Well, it became available August 29th, I discovered. And so you can go to her website at http://blog.dreambuilders.com.au. And both of the ebooks I mentioned earlier were going to be available. They're available now, so you can go right on over there and access them. In a few minutes, I'm sure her signal will be back and we'll be able to continue our conversation. In the meantime, I want to share some things with you about my new book that's on the market, Color Your Life Happy, Create the Success, Abundance, and Inner Joy You Deserve. One of the things that I point out in the book that's related to our talk today is the fact that there is a level of happiness that you have within you. And I found from my experience and also from research, reading the research findings, that happiness is to some extent based on your background. Some people, have you ever heard in your family said that you're just like Aunt so-and-so? Hello?
Hi there.
Caller? Hi. Who's on the line?
This is Liera. I was on the line before, but we had some technical difficulties, so I changed phones.
You changed phones. Great. Okay, because I saw it was a different number. I wasn't sure. I was just saying that in my book, I point out that happiness does have some foundation in our background, our genes, and it has some foundation in our upbringing, but that a great percentage of it, 40% or more, is within our control, because so many things happen to us growing up and, of course, in our genetic makeup that we don't have control over. And but we have a control over quite a bit beyond that. So you were talking about why people often dream about and pursue happiness.
Yes. When we were talking about that, you had mentioned quite astutely that the media often distracts people from what they already have. So rather than recognizing that they're already content with who they are, where they're living, their relationships, or whatever their circumstances are, their mind is shifted to focus on those things that they don't yet have, and
mm-hmm.
they get focused on lack. And that's part of why people start this pursuit of happiness, because they forget that they already have it.
Oh, wow. And you know what? Every time I see commercials, and more I've paid attention over the years, especially when I was teaching critical thinking, I had my students analyze commercials, and they are set up to create a feeling of lack and scarcity.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever it is that they're advertising is something, if it's brand new invention or whatever, something we didn't have before.
Mm-hmm.
But they set it up to make us feel that now somehow our lives are lacking because we don't have this thing that we didn't even know existed before.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I think, is what you're talking about when you say that advertisers set it up and they distract us because they get our minds off of the issues at hand and they have us looking without all the time instead of within.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a shame. And that's where someone like you comes in to help people turn back into looking within. Now, you mentioned earlier self-awareness is related to happiness. Could
mm-hmm.
you speak to that a bit?
Well, the very fact that you and I are just talking about the media distracting the focus from happiness to something else is an example of awareness. Because
mm-hmm.
once you're aware you're doing something, that empowers you. All of a sudden you have information that equips you to decide whether you're going to change your focus, change your outlook, or not. Whereas when you're not aware of what you're doing and how it affects you, then you don't feel any impetus to change.
Mm-hmm. So having the self-awareness even pointed out, I mean having someone point something out to you can be helpful if
yes.
you're able to accept it. from that person and notice it and want to change it,
mm-hmm.
then that seems to be the first step.
Yes, definitely. It is a step towards towards change, because if you have no sense of why you might want to change, then you have no reason to do it. And once you have more information, you become more conscious as well. And we were talking about energy vibration of happiness earlier too. Mm-hmm. And if you are aware of something and you do it more consciously, then you channel more intense energy vibration. And so you can feel happier, you feel better when you're more aware of what's happening.
Hmm. Okay, so sticking your head in the sand is not a good idea.
Well, I guess we step back from judgment. We think that it's important for everyone to make the choices that they feel are right for them, but it wouldn't be my choice.
Well, if you're wanting to solve a problem, that's certainly not the way to do it, because then when your head comes out of the sand, the problem's still there, whatever it is you need to work on. And I've had that experience in the past. I'm guilty of having the times when I just wanted to cover my head
mm-hmm.
and not think about something that was a problem, until I realized, wait a minute, when I'm done covering my head, I still have to confront and solve whatever it is. And it's a distraction, and it wastes time from getting at the issue at hand, which gets me to this whole idea of time.
Mm-hmm.
Because as humans, we have a lot of issues with time. How does this idea of human time affect our joy and pleasure?
Well, the way we were talking about the media is a great example again, because when you focus on anything other than the present moment, right now, you mm-hmm. tend to focus on lack. Now, we're conditioned to believe in a past, present, and future.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take the example of a sense of the past, let's say yesterday you may have been window shopping and mm-hmm. you were thinking about a sweater or another article of clothing that
mm-hmm.
you liked. And you might have thought, oh, maybe you'll put it on layaway for Christmas or something. Your mind at that time was focused on the future. And now, thinking about that again, it's gravitating toward the past.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm saying is, by focusing on the past and the future, you forget that you're already wearing something now. And you forget about what you're doing now. And so if you think about time, if you're focused on anything other than the present, that's why you forget that you're already happy, you're already content and joyful where you are, because you're focusing on what you don't have or what you're not doing.
That reminds me of a cartoon I saw somewhere where a lady was standing looking at, she was on vacation, and she was looking at this beautiful scenery. And she was saying, wow, one of these days I would like to return to this beautiful scenery. So, and she was focusing on the future of how she was going to come back, or how she was going to remember it. She wasn't fully focusing on just enjoying it at the present. And here she was there, that moment, just taking it in. And I think so many times we do that exact thing, as you said, with the example with the sweater. And it's a continual distraction, and unfortunately a source of creating a disconnect or a dissatisfaction all the time. Now, is there any purpose for having dissatisfaction, irritation, discomfort? What's the purpose of that?
Well, I suppose there's many purposes to everything, depending on where your mind is. But one way to look at it is to see that, first of all, there are blessings or advantages wherever you are. So
mm-hmm.
once you focus on some element that makes you happy, then you've already found some element of success.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're focused on negative energy, like irritation or discomfort, what are you learning from that? You're learning, well, there's some sort of imbalance going on. And ultimately, you may be seeking for answers outside of yourself.
Hmm.
And what does that tell you? If you're looking for answers outside yourself, Laura, what would you say?
I would say that I'm not going to find them. And if I do find what I think is the answer, someone else has control over it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've turned my power over to that thing or that person
mm-hmm.
outside myself. And that's
going
to inevitably lead to more discomfort at some point.
Well, that's it. And you mentioned dreams earlier, too. And it's common for people to dream they're in a vehicle that's moving. And have you ever dreamt of being inside a car, for example?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And when you were inside that car, do you remember the different places you were sitting?
Geez, I can't remember an exact dream at this moment. Probably behind the driver's seat.
Well, see, if you're behind
the driver's seat.
That means
in the driver's seat, I'm sorry.
Sorry, I was going to say, if you're behind the driver's seat, or in the driver's seat, rather, that's very different perspective than if you are the passenger.
Right, right.
Because as you say about the control issue, if you permit other people to make your choices for you or define your life and you feel irritated, then partly that relates to not taking responsibility, for example. There are different ways to look at it, but dreams can offer wonderful insights if you choose to go that route.
Speaking of which, I had a dream. I used to have a recurring dream when I first moved. Excuse me. And I kept dreaming that I went back to my old house. And as if I were going home, I thought I was going home. And when I'd get there and open the door, I realized, oh, wait, I don't live here anymore. And I would see the new owner and say, oops, I'm sorry, I forgot I don't live here anymore. And I would have to turn around and come to my new house. I love my new house. I don't know why I kept having this recurring dream, but I don't have any more, but that was 20 years ago when I first moved. And I had lived in that house for 20 years, and I, you know, was trying to make sense of why I was dreaming that, and I don't know what the – how do you interpret that? Because I know you work with dreams.
Well, you got me on the spot there, but I can certainly tell you that there are many ways to look at a dream. So first of all, there's no one answer.
Sure.
I don't offer sort of a black and white recipe for anyone who comes to me. It's interesting to zero in on feelings you have in a given dream and certain objects that stand out, for example. And the fact that you have the inside knowledge about the house and what it represented to you and the histories and the memories, there could be links there that you hadn't had a complete set of closure, for example.
Exactly, yes. Yeah.
But some people are also active astral and lucid dreamers, and this is one of the things I get into in the new dream book called Harness the Energy of Your Dreams. But some people will go back literally to places that they've been to see them differently. And so depending on your state of mind, you may have been seeking an answer to a question, and once you found what you needed to know, then you moved on. So. If we sat down at another time, I'd be happy to look at it in more detail.
You say no instant diagnoses, huh? I just thought of that. I hadn't planned to ask you that, but I thought about this recurring dreams, and many people have recurring dreams, and it's interesting.
Well, recurring dreams of any kind are the deeper mind's way of drawing your attention to something. It's sort of like nightmares are another example, because you have intense emotions that really grab your attention, and they don't want you to ignore them anymore. So there's something that wanted you to take another look.
Well, fortunately, I don't have it anymore, and I decided that I was needing to let go.
Well, maybe you have moved on then.
I'm sorry?
You may have moved on then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I moved on a long time ago from that. But I just thought about it because it was when you said dream. Now, what is reframing? That's something, a term I've heard. What is reframing, and when is it used?
Well, if you're involved in framing pictures, it means one thing. But in my context, it means a little something else.
Okay.
I have a goddaughter whose mother's an artist, so I'm knowledgeable about framing in that regard, too.
Okay.
But in the context of sort of motivational writing and thinking, the idea of reframing is when you nurture your inner capacity to shift your perception to what's happening now. And we've been talking about timelines during this discussion. And reframing enables you to look at energy, for example, if you're focusing on the negative side of a situation, you can reframe it to see the positive side or the advantages. And you can also just choose to see something as experience without labeling it as good or bad. It's sort of the action of stepping back and seeing something worthwhile in it.
Okay.
Have you ever read anything by Eckhart Tolle?
Yes.
I've written books like The Power of Now.
Yes, I read that.
And more recently, A New Earth, that many people have heard about through Oprah.
Right.
But he actually talks about the benefits of detaching from negativity, and this relates to reframing, because he'll talk about how you can make your problems disappear. And part of it relates to just getting to know your relationship to a situation. And if you imagine yourself becoming transparent to the external cause of your reaction, then what you're doing is you're taking control, you're taking responsibility for that. And one great example is if you're standing on the street and you hear a car alarm go off, and it all of a sudden you get really annoyed by that because the noise is just, it's driving you nuts. You can start to think, well, wait a second. The mind is creating the reaction. It's not you creating the reaction. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you step into that observer perspective, you realize that there is no problem, that you're creating it, and then it dissolves.
It is so interesting you use that example because I just came back from a 3-day seminar and for speakers and coaches. And every afternoon, each one of those 3 afternoons when different speakers would be on the stage, there was somebody's car alarm that would go off in the parking lot of the hotel. And the first, of course, the audience knew it was going to happen because it seemed to happen around the same time. I don't know what was going on with this person's car. But the first speaker, the speaker that was on the first time when it happened, he went on and on about how this person couldn't control their car, so how could they control their lives? And he took a negative reaction. Then the next day, the guy who was on when that alarm went off out there in the parking lot, he raised his arms and, like the police were, coming, police say, put your hands up.
No.
And he turned around a couple of times and he said, excuse me, that was flashback to my old days as a musician. So he turned it into a joke. And the third day, that guy, when that alarm went off, he paused momentarily, he smiled, and then he turned back to what he was saying and went on with his presentation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting that you use that because each one of them reacted differently to that car alarm.
Mm. Well, you hear the same thing with cell phones, too.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So this reframing is extremely important because things are going to happen.
Mm.
And if we choose to take a negative or any other than a neutral, then we certainly are going to be, if nothing else, distracted and stopped from our business to give it some kind of value.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do you make these perceived problems disappear again? So could you explain that again? I know you just referred to it when you talked about Eckhart Tolle.
Sure. Well, I can give you a different example.
Okay.
The concept is the same.
Same, okay.
If you imagine that the external cause of your reaction is suddenly transparent, what that means is if you learn to step back from the reasons why you're all of a sudden angry, frustrated, or feeling in a way that you don't want to be feeling, then all of a sudden the reason that you created that feeling dissolves. And we talked about the example of the car alarm. People have heard about the problem of cell phones, but you can also think of traffic. Many people commute to work every day. And they end up stuck in traffic jams. And the first thing they start to do is look at their watch and start to get frustrated and stressed, and they start to assume they're going to be late. And when you start to do that, you're inviting that sort of situation. But if you step back a minute and you think, wait, this is actually an advantage because, and you reframe the situation, like you have an extra 10 minutes to read something you wanted to read or to listen to something on the radio that might interest you, then all of a sudden the reason for getting annoyed disappears and it's no longer in control of you because you take control of how you're thinking.
Okay. That was going to be my next question, was going to relate to how you can use what is happening to your greatest advantage. So you just touched on that.
Well, I could give you an example of that in a different case.
Okay.
People, for example, I have a good friend who's in her 30s, and she recently discovered that she had cancer. And
cancer
seems to be so much more widespread than it used to be. It used to be through the 6 degrees of separation, you might have known someone who knew someone who had it. But
right.
a lot of times it's closer to home these days.
Exactly.
But with this friend, what's very interesting, compared to a lot of people who get sick and focus on what they're not doing and why they're having so many problems, she was in a situation where she had 2 jobs, and she really wanted to start her own business. And she got to the point where she had the courage to take certain steps to do that. She took a night course and developed some skills, but she was reluctant to let go of the other job because she felt it represented financial security for her.
Sure.
And she didn't have complete confidence in her business yet. And what happened was when she got sick, she ended up getting disability pay from the job that she didn't really want to be doing. And this is enabling her to focus almost full-time when she has energy on developing the other business. And she already lives her life now as if she's healed. She sees this as a stepping stone, and she's had her surgery, and she's going through the rehabilitation or recovery process.
Mm-hmm.
And she's choosing to look at all of these obstacles as an advantage. And there are people that she encounters in the hospital that are already talking about being dead in a very short period of time,
as
if they don't have a reason to continue.
Yeah.
And so she's able to shift her whole focus and look at things in a very positive light.
That is so wonderful, and there are a number of stories of people who have been diagnosed with cancer and other things who have taken that opportunity to stop doing whatever they are doing that they don't enjoy, or to make that move toward whatever they may have as a goal. And I had the same, a similar experience when I had was diagnosed with having a cancerous polyp. When I had a colonoscopy a few years ago, I was hemming and hawing about, should I retire that year or should I wait another couple of years and make more money? And when I got diagnosed with that and the doctor recommended surgery and all of that, I said, okay, I get it. I'm quitting my job. Not quitting, retiring, because I love teaching, but I had reached the point where it was time to move on. And I was hesitating about it, but that awareness brought me to my senses that this is the time to move on and do the things you have been saying you'll do when you retire.
Well, that's like a friend of mine. That's how she views
exactly.
her situation, too.
Exactly. So those kinds of things are an opportunity, and they do give, they have a great advantage in them because they push us on to an awareness of, it puts things in perspective. You know, you work another year, a couple of years or whatever in retirement, so what do you get? A couple of $100s more a month. Whoopity-doo. And you are trading time for dollars and your dream for dollars. And it doesn't make sense, but that's what we tend to do. So that's where those adversities or problems or whatever you want to call them come in. Now, why shift toward our inner world? Why should we shift to the inner?
Well, as we've just been saying with these examples of how the universe throws us situations of adversity, it does that so that we learn to listen more to our inner self. And when I say inner world, I guess you could say consciousness, soulful or mindfulness thinking. And when you shift towards your inner world, you're really listening to your authentic self. And if your authentic self is telling you at a certain stage of your life that teaching was a great experience, but now you're ready for something new, and you're not listening to that, you're thinking, oh, maybe a couple more years, then you're not focused on what your inner self is telling you. And your inner self is always telling you what the best thing for you is. Your higher self has your best interest in mind, but it's not ego-based, and that's the difference.
The higher self, say that again, because that's profound.
Sure. Well, the higher self, if you're interested in consciousness, I write quite extensively about this on my website, theblog.dreambuilders.com.au, and that Extend Consciousness Now book is also about it. Mm-hmm. But with consciousness, you have different levels of awareness. Your conscious mind is what sort of directs your moment-to-moment activities at a conscious level. Mm-hmm. But unconsciously, your intuition will tell you what feels right. If you have a gut feeling, for example, that's another side of you, and that's your inner world.
Yeah, I have a belief that when people are discontent, unhappy, or even ill sometimes, that it's because they are out of sync with what that inner voice or higher power is telling them to do, what the purpose that they're here for, the gift they have to give to the world. When they're not really honoring that or being authentic, I think that's where we get the this discomfort or this feeling of unhappiness or sadness or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's true to some extent?
I resonate with that idea. I sense that human beings are conditioned to be, for the most part, rational thinkers. Mm-hmm. And they use their mind to direct a lot of their choices. Mm-hmm. And as you shift your focus, your perception, to attune to your inner self, you listen more to the heart. Mm-hmm. You think with the heart instead of thinking with the mind. You feel with the mind and think with the heart. And it's a shift that a number of people are starting to become more aware of.
Wow. So feel with the mind. Wow. Think with the heart. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. I think if we were totally rational all the time, we would get into serious trouble.
Mm. Well, it's amazing how often people rationalize what they do when they know it isn't good for them.
That's right. And we are so drawn to things that aren't good for us, and they're not for the reasons at all that we think, and then we rationalize to make them okay. Mm-hmm. It's amazing the play, the drama we have going on in our minds.
Well, think of pizza. Pizza is a great example. You know, you have two pieces, and then your mind tells you, oh, just one more, just one more. And then after four, five, or six, or even a pizza, that's when you start to hear your inner self saying, I told you so.
That reminds me of my granddaughter when she's 20 now, but when she was about 7 or 8 and even into her teenage years, she just couldn't wait for dinner. And she would always want to eat a piece of candy or a cookie or whatever. And there would be things that didn't even go together. And, you know, she'd say, oh, could I have a pickle? Or, oh, could I have this and that? And we would warn her, don't eat that. It's not going to feel good later. Well, she would never listen. And she would eat dinner. And we used to laugh at her because we could predict every time, as soon as she started eating a little dinner, she would start, I don't feel good.
But you don't say, I told you so. You just sit there and you know that she's figuring it out for herself.
Yeah, and that's what we, you know, we had to let her learn. Mm-hmm. It was so predictable. And that's what I think we, as adults, we do things that aren't good for us. And we just have to keep having that experience till we learn that lesson. Mm. That lesson that's in that experience. Now, how does the person move beyond this rational mind and get at the heart? What helps us to do that?
Well, I suppose there are many ways to do it, but one way is to listen to your heart more. And what I'm saying by that is when you have choices in front of you, you want to think about the choice that has the most sort of underlying loving intent behind it. If your rational mind is telling you to do something and the motivation behind that is not compassion, then that's not your inner self, that's not your intuition or your heart, that's your ego. And it may be a materialistic motivation, it may be some other element that just isn't speaking from the heart.
Mm-hmm. Now, to get at the heart is things like meditation and prayer. Do you recommend those?
there are many different ways to sort of retrain the mind, but learning how to stop thinking is one of the exercises that many people start with, because they have so many things going on in their mind. They want to be multitasking all the time, that it's very hard to hear themselves think, is what's often said. And meditation is a wonderful way to learn to relax and to quiet the mind. And that helps you to see beyond all of those ego-based voices and start with nothingness and move forward from there.
I recommended that in my book because all of the research where they've interviewed happy people, people who have identified themselves as happy, all of them had some kind of way of getting silent. It may not, they may not have called it meditation. They may have just, you know, had quiet time, or they may have had prayer, or found a sanctuary of some kind where they could go and be still. But all of them had some kind of quieting, like you were saying, stop thinking time. And that seems to be a common element to help people. We have a caller on the line who wants to ask a question, looks like.
Sure.
Now they just disappeared as soon as I said that. So maybe they'll come back. But I have another question, one other question in particular, because we're 4 minutes away from the end of the show, if you can believe it. What allows you to radiate joy from within?
Well, that's an excellent question. And again, there are many answers, but one of the things that I zero in on in my book called Self-Disclosure, Changes from Within, is the whole concept of learning to be honest with yourself. And as you learn what that means in practice, then you tap into compassion. And compassion is being aware that there is this deep bond between yourself and everything everywhere. And compassion goes beyond empathy and sympathy. It means that sadness merges with joy, and you just sense that the baseline of everything is love. Love is the answer, and that helps you find the solutions to whatever situation you're in at a given moment.
Wow. So I need to dash over and get your book as soon as we hang up. Self-Disclosure, Changes from Within.
Yes.
Tell us the website again where we can get over there and get that.
Sure. It's blog.dreambuilders.com.au. The front page actually opens with the e-books as well as an opportunity to find more information about the Self-Disclosure book.
Okay, because self-disclosure, that's an important element of relationship building, first with yourself from within, and then with others. That's amazing. Do you have any, we're near the end of our show just about, do you have any closing words for us that the listeners need to have in mind, their last, that last thought?
Well, I'd just like to remind everyone that they have the power within to reframe whatever they're experiencing every moment, even right now. And so regardless of what obstacles or adversities might seem to be in your midst, you can learn to see blessings in that. And from the moment you do, your life will completely transform. And you will sense the love that is where you are, and you will find happiness where you are.
Wow. Now, do you offer coaching as well as your e-books?
I have the e-books. I do dream analysis. I have an e-consciousness e-course, which involves interaction with people who take the course sort of coaching, and I do some intuitive guidance as well. You can find more about that on the website, and there's a contact form for more information.
Okay, that's on the same website, blog.dreambuilders.com.au.
Yes, under services you can find out that information.
Oh, that is wonderful, because I'm sure that the listeners are going to want to have more of you after the show, because you just touched on a little bit of what's there, what's possible. So thank you so much for being on the show today, and I know that the listeners have been enlightened, encouraged, and empowered by today's episode, and I'm encouraging the listeners to share with family, friends, what they've heard today, but more importantly, to get over to your site, the Liara's site, and take advantage of the e-books and the services that are there as well. Remember that the recording of this episode will be available shortly after for those who want to return and listen to it again. I want to thank all of you for tuning in and invite you to join me again next Monday, September 7th at 11 a.m. for another exciting show. I'm your host, Flora Brown of Color Your Life Happy, the radio show designed to help you uncover the joy you deserve. I'm coming to you live from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Have a blessed week.
Color, color your